Hi, my name's Becky. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Becky.
Hi. Firstly, I'd just like to say thank you for asking me to come along to do the chair today. I've been in OA since October 2008, and I've been abstinent since the 8th of February 2016. And I don't actually know how much I've lost, but I was originally 18 stone, and I'm still working towards a healthy body weight. But I'm very grateful to be part of this program, and I thought about coming to this meeting a few times. I've heard really good things about it, but I am terrible at getting up in the morning, especially on a weekend. So I'm grateful for the person who's your chair finder for asking me to come along and giving me the reason of service to come along to your meeting. So as I say, I came into OA in 2008, and when I came here, when I came to my first meeting, I was desperate to lose weight, and I felt like I'd tried everything. But I also could not imagine my life without the food. Food had always been a huge part of my life. I was quite a big baby. I was overweight as a child, as a teenager. You know, all the photos of me as a kid, I've always got food in my hand or around my mouth. And I had a bit of an unsettled childhood. My dad was an alcoholic, and my mum left when I was four. But as I came into the programme and started working the steps, I started to understand that that was not the reason that I was a compulsive overeater. I always used to think it was. I looked back and saw, I have an older sister, and she never did the things with food that I did. She wasn't the same way as me. You know, she seemed to quite confidently go through her life and do her schoolwork and have friends, and she was quite popular and stuff. And yet I was completely baffled by life, really on the outside of it, looking in, scared to jump in and have a life. And I was one of those kids, I was always quite fearful. I'd never climbed to the top of the climbing frame, or, you know, there was always this fear holding me back. And I spent a lot of time on my own when I was a child. My dad worked very hard to try and keep the family together. And I was very lonely. My sister started going out when she was quite young, and I spent a lot of time at home, and that was when the food really kind of kicked in for me. It became my constant companion. It was always there, pretty much always available, and I relied on it to get through my life. I couldn't handle my emotions. I was a very emotional child, very emotional teenager. And I'd always just taken on this label of being the fat one. You know, I've got two cousins that are twins, and one was very thin and one was bigger, and I was always compared. My sister and I was compared to these twins, and I was like, I'm the fat one. So I'd kind of labelled myself as this, and got to about 14, started sort of noticing boys, started realising that I was overweight, and then started to want to lose weight. And my dad, bless him, was very supportive, you know, and he realised that when we had a big family argument, which did happen quite often, that food would placate me, food would soothe me, and so that association just became stronger. But he was also desperately wanted me to be happy, and I was incredibly unhappy. And when I found dieting, I thought it was going to make me happy. I thought the answer was, I need to lose weight. That's what I need to do. When I lose weight, everything's going to be okay. When I lose weight, I'll feel good about myself. When I lose weight, I'll be able to concentrate on my schoolwork. When I lose weight, I'll find a boyfriend, or whatever it was. So my dad supported me in trying to find a diet. And I didn't go in and just, you know, start very, you know, simple. I went straight in to one of those 500 calories a day, powders and potions diets. At the age of 14. And so started 22 years of dieting and binging. And that really was the focus of my life. It's, I look back and it was quite sad, really, because my ambition in life was to be 9.5 stone. That was it. I didn't know what I wanted to do for a job. I wanted to get married and maybe have the children one day, but I had no clue what I wanted to do with my life. I just wanted to be thin. And like I say, it just completely overtook my psyche. It was there all the time. But little did I know that actually it was a crutch I was leaning on. So speed through the years, I somehow managed to meet somebody and get married and was pretty successful in my career. I've not had children. That's not been part of my story, unfortunately. But that is one of the things this disease took from me to a certain degree, because I was terrified of passing all my neuroses onto a child. So I left it and left it and left it. And I got to the point where I was kind of like, you know, I was happily married, I had a nice house, I had a good job, I had all the trappings that should make me happy, and I was desperately unhappy. And I used to go to slimming clubs and try and lose weight, and at first it was successful, and then it got harder and harder to stay on a diet. And I was constantly starting my day tomorrow, so I would always be sort of, oh, I've messed it up. I've done one thing that was wrong. I've taken one bite of something, and that's it. I've blown it. So I gave myself carte blanche to just carry on eating for the rest of that day, because tomorrow everything was going to be different. And I would cling on to absolutely anything that I could to try and make me think that tomorrow was going to be different. I used to buy diaries compulsively, and every time I started a diet, I would have to have a new diary. And I'd tear out all the pages from the previous days, because from tomorrow, that's when my life starts. I bought jewellery and had it engraved with the date that I was starting the diet, and oh, just absolute insanity. And when I messed up at one slimming club, I would drive for miles out of the way to go to another one, because I had to start again. I couldn't possibly go back and face those people, as if they would actually be paying that much attention to me. You know, but I used to try and trick the system as well. You know, I would turn up at my first day on a slimming club wearing like boots and jeans, and I'd have eaten everything I possibly could that day, weigh as heavy as I could. And then the next week, I would have eaten all the points or whatever it was within the first 2 or 3 days, then tried to starve myself for the next few days. And I'd turn up in flip-flops and a floaty skirt, even if it was in the depths of winter, desperately trying to make sure there was some sort of loss on the scale. And it was just a horrible existence, you know. I just felt this deep unhappiness in myself. Like something was missing, something was wrong with me. And by the time I came into OA, I was under review of my sick leave at work, because I just couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I didn't want to face my life. I would stay at home and eat, you know. I would shut the curtains and I'd cancel plans with friends. I'd stop going to events. I'd dread any holidays, you know, all of that sort of thing. And, it just ruled my life. And then one day, after I'd started the round of going around looking at self-help books, and I'd been to hypnotherapists, and I'd done some counselling, and I'd tried all these other things as well as the dieting, but I still felt like the dieting was the answer. And my last diet was, again, I went back to the beginning and went on one of those crazy meal replacement diets. And I lost weight, but I was mad as a box of frogs. My hair was falling out, my skin was like paper, I was constantly freezing cold, and it was just, I was absolutely crazy. And I, one night going home from work in London, I bumped into a friend I hadn't seen for a long time. And he was actually one of my sister's ex-boyfriends, and he said to me, oh, I'll get this train every Wednesday coming up to London, and like for the last 3 years, and I'd never bumped into him, you know. Anyway, we had a quick chat. We went out for a coffee, and I said to him, you're different. You seem different. There was just a different kind of energy about him than when I'd known him before. And he told me his story, and his story was drugs and alcohol, but everything he said about it, it was me with food. The lengths he went to, how he felt about himself, how it was affecting his life, everything. And I'm so grateful that I bumped into him on that platform that day, because he 12-stepped me. And he said, I don't know about the eating, but there must be a fellowship for this type of thing. And that was in the August. And it took me a couple of months to walk into my first meeting. And I was terrified. And I sat there and cried all the way through my first meeting. One, because I thought, there's people out there that do with food what I do. And I was just astounded, because the secrecy and the isolation I'd felt all those years was starting to kind of dissipate. And I thought, this is amazing. There's other people like me. But there was also this absolute terror of thinking, this is it. I'm going to have to let go of this. I'm going to have to move away from this behaviour. And it was a crutch for me, as I said. And I didn't know how to walk through life without it. But I came in and I went to the meetings and I got myself a sponsor and she started taking me through the steps, and it was amazing. And I was one of those people at the beginning, I was just like, this is the answer to everything. Everybody should do this, you know. And I was going around going, oh, they're an addict and they're an addict and they're an addict, you know. And it was just kind of like, okay, rein it in a bit, Becky, you know. Just focus on your own recovery. And I was very grateful for my first sponsor, who very tragically passed away recently. And she was a person who, she had a lot of wisdom and a lot of strength, and she took me through the steps. And we got to step 5, and I did this epic step 4 with her. But she helped me to find my own higher power. You know, she was the queen of the analogy, and I still quote her today. And she helped me find a higher power of my own understanding. And I was terrified at the beginning of letting go of the dieting. I was really terrified of it. But I knew I got to this point where I thought, I've got to surrender everything. I have to, because if I don't, this isn't going to work. I can't keep clinging on. So it was literally like I had to get that crutch and throw it away and let myself fall backwards and trust that my higher power was going to catch me. And that has been my experience. About 2 years later, my food didn't get clean straight away. It took me a long time. But 2 years later, my abstinence came. And I started eating 3 meals a day, nothing in between. I got really honest about my food. And I started working with a different sponsor. My first sponsor, unfortunately, got unwell. And I had 2.5 years of really strong abstinence and really strong recovery. And then I got to a healthy body weight for the first time in my life. And my head just went. And I just focused on the physical. And I was just like, oh my God, I've cracked it. I'm there, I've arrived, it's great. And I stopped doing all of the other things that worked. I stopped going to as many meetings. I got cocky and I got complacent. And unsurprisingly, I relapsed. I relapsed on a canapé at work, which I did because I was worried about what my boss thought of me. We were at a caterer's tasting for the place that I used to work at, and I thought, I can't not try something, because if I don't, she's going to think this about me. What I didn't have, I may have had strong abstinence, I didn't have strong recovery. I was still allowing other people's behaviour to dictate how I felt about myself. I was still allowing myself to be worried about what other people thought of me. I didn't have emotional sobriety. My relapse lasted 3 years, and it was really painful. And it was like I was 5 days abstinence, then I'm back in the food, and then 3 days abstinence, back in the food, and it was just like this. And it was almost like I'd have a few days abstinence, feel better about myself, and then stop doing it again. And I know today that I had to go through that. I thankfully still kept coming to the meetings, albeit sporadically, but I was getting to at least one a week, because I knew the answer was here. The answer is here for me. And eventually I got to a point in February 2 years ago I just had enough. I was so sick of being down this dark hole and realising I wasn't reaching my hand up to ask for help. And I asked somebody to sponsor me, and she gave me a set of daily suggestions. And I started making 2 calls a day, getting to 2 meetings a week, phoning her every day, and we worked through the steps, through the big book. And I've been abstinent since. And today I have emotional sobriety because I realise that I need to do something for this program every single day. You know, this is my medicine. I have an illness. This is my medicine. You know, I need to pray every day, morning and night, and during the day as well. I need to have that constant connection with my higher power. I need to be very honest about my food, and I need to reach out to everybody around me. You know, this is, you know, often hear this is a we program, and there's still this self-sufficiency in me that comes back and goes, I can do it on my own, it's okay. I really can't. And I've had to learn how to be very honest in the way that I share, because I always used to think I've got to say something profound or funny or really meaningful. And it's like, no, just speak your truth, Becky, you know? And I'm learning to sort of stand in my own light and be responsible for myself and grow up, because I never wanted to take responsibility for myself. I didn't want to be responsible. And recovery has helped me do that through working with my sponsor, having a higher power. And I've gone into other fellowships because there's other stuff underneath the food that I've had to look at. But I know the great thing is that there's one solution. It's the same solution. Whatever my addiction is, it's the same solution. I heard a chair the other week, and the person shared that their sponsor said to them that they're not asking God for enough. And that really hit home with me, because whenever I'm having a problem, it's because I'm not inviting my higher power into that situation. It's because I think I can sort it out myself, and I can't. My higher power knows what's better for me than what I do. Any idea I have for my life will always be limited by my sickness. And I'm so grateful today that I can live without the obsession around food. I can eat 3 meals a day. And it is a miracle. I don't use that word lightly. It is a miracle, because I never would have thought that that could possibly ever happen before I came to this program. And I thank God for you guys and this program and recovery and everything I've learned and then still learning, because I'm never going to outgrow this program. I always need to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Very grateful to be here.